Good evening and welcome along to The Score, our midweek sports show here in Highland, where we take a look at what's happening in the world of local sport. I'm your host, Mark Gallagher, and I'll be with you from now until 8 o'clock. So let's have a quick look ahead to what is coming up on tonight's programme. In the Gaelic Games, we'll be getting the thoughts of Donegal captain Michael Langan ahead of Sunday's National Football League Division 1 final at Croke Park against Kerry, while Donegal hurling manager Mickey McCann will also look ahead to their Division 3 league final on Saturday in Aughrim. In the local soccer picture, we'll hear from Kerry Keel manager Hughie Walsh after they sealed promotion to the Donegal League Premier Division for the very first time last week. That's all coming up very shortly, but it is a very busy week on the soccer front, so that's where we'll start, and we'll have a broader chat about what's happening. The big game of the week is, of course, Ireland's clash with Czechia in Prague this evening. If Ireland win, it would set up a mouth-watering winner-takes-all clash against either Denmark or North Macedonia in Dublin next Tuesday. Kickoff in Prague this evening is in around about 35-minute time. Two wins in the next 4 days would send Ireland to their first FIFA World Cup in 24 years, 2002, the last time an Irish team out at the World Cup. As for the domestic scene, Finn Harps aren't in action until Saturday when they travel to face Longford Town. That one is at Bishop's Gate. The big news coming from Finn Park this week is that youngsters Gavin McAteer and Josh Cullen, who, don't forget, represented Ireland in the Under-17 World Cup back in November, they have now been selected for the Republic of Ireland Under-19 squad. Locally, there are two huge games this weekend, with both Ulster Cup semi-finals down for decision. Coghill Celtic travel to play Kildrum Tigers, while Buncrana Hearts play Cairn Donagh in an all-in shown last four time. So to talk all things soccer, I am now joined by former Finn Harps captain and current Coghill Celtic boss Gavin Cullen. Gavin, thank you very much for joining us once again on The Score this evening.
Hi, good evening. How's things?
Not too bad. We have a lot to get through. It's a busy week. So we'll speak obviously about Ireland's game in Prague, and I want to get your thoughts on this weekend's Ulster Cup semi-finals. But firstly, maybe we'll talk Finn Harps, and before we get onto the stuff on the pitch, it's been another week, another big week for Harps youngsters, Gavin McAteer and Josh Cullen, getting called up to the Ireland Under-19 squad this time. Those young lads continue to make waves.
Yeah, absolutely. They're obviously doing really well. They're playing week in, week out in the League of Ireland as well, which is huge for them at that age. Gavin, by all accounts, has been playing really, really well. Very highly thought of, lots and lots of potential. Josh and obviously Corey could have been involved as well, only for injury. So it's really, really positive, and it's showing good signs for Harps at the minute with these young lads coming through.
Corey was called up, but unfortunately couldn't make it due to injury. That is a bit of a blow for Corey, isn't it? Like, at that age, you kind of really be wanting to keep the foot on the pedal, but hopefully he can bounce back and be in the mix for future squads as well.
Oh, absolutely. Once you're in an international setup, I suppose staying in there is the main thing, pushing on, getting minutes. And especially for him, he was in the team at the start of the season and he's injured now and he's been out of the team. So, look, again, getting back into the Harps team, he's going to have to work hard for that as well. But it's very important. But he's young as a goalkeeper as well, and the potential's there.
So Harps play Longford Town this Saturday, not Friday this week. It'll take a big enough performance to get a win in the Midlands. What chance do you give Harps of getting something from the game on Saturday?
Oh yeah, they've a good chance. Obviously, the lads missing isn't ideal, but look, that's what the squad's for. There's always going to be players missing, injured for various reasons, suspended. So that's what squad's for. The two clubs, Harps and Longford, very, very similar start to the season. 1-1, three draws and two defeats each. And they're on the same number of points. So it's a tough one, but they're all tough. Like they're in the first division, and you look at it at the minute, like Cove sitting second bottom, you'd expect them to be near the top, you know, and Athlone sitting third, you'd probably expect them to be lower down. So it's very early days, and everybody can beat anybody in the first division, as we know.
No Gavin McAteer, no Josh Cullen, no Corey Sheridan this week, but as you've alluded to, it does give the other players in the squad a chance to step up and make their mark on the team this weekend.
Absolutely. Look, that's what you expect as a manager and at a club. You know, you expect players, everybody there to be available and to be ready to go. And when they get their opportunity to take up with both hands, so it doesn't always happen, but this is the opportunities that arose. Like obviously Gavin and Joyce have been in the starting 11 most weeks, you know, and Corey as well. So look, there's three opportunities for three different players this weekend that Kevin will be expecting them to grasp by both hands, you know.
It is shaping up to be a very tight league once again. After six games, there's only 6 points between second place Bray and bottom side Treaty. Five of those teams are in 6 points. One of those are Harps, of course. Apart from Cork, who obviously look fairly dominant at the top, there's really not much to separate the sides and the rest of the sides in the division.
No, it generally has been that way this last few years. There seems to be one club have stood out and sort of was Dundalk. Last year was Cork, the year before, it pulled away. And then it sort of grouped in and between, six, seven, eight clubs all vying right throughout the season for them playoff positions. Because the top five or six get in the playoff positions, they all have opportunities going through the season to pick a push, and two or three results any week can make a huge difference as well to that. And it looks like it's panned out exactly the same this season.
Yeah, we'll have live updates from Bishopsgate on Saturday evening. Denise O'Flaherty will be there for Highland Radio Sport. Kickoff as at the slightly earlier time of 7:30. All the other First Division games are on tomorrow night. Leaders Cork play Athlone. Bray Wanderers host Kerry. Cove are in the capital to face UCD. And Bottomside Treaty are away to Wexford. There are no Premier Division games this weekend. So, Gavin, let's move on to the big game tonight. Not long now until kickoff in Prague, Ireland, up against Czechia from 7:45. Needless to say, it's a big night for Irish football, Gavin.
Oh, it's huge. Like the implications of it, in terms of qualifying for a World Cup or not for the FAI and for the whole football right through to grassroots in Ireland, that is massive. It's brilliant to get that excitement back in Irish football. It's brilliant to have this game coming up tonight. There really is excitement about it, really great buzz, and that's the way it's been. It's been years since we've had that, with the two results against Hungary and Portugal. It really goes wet at the appetite and give us all something to be excited about again,
Czechia, they've had their own problems. A new manager coming in, it's actually his first game in charge, and numerous examples of a bit of unrest in their camp. Is it fair to say it's probably a good time to be facing them?
Yeah, absolutely. A new manager coming in can go both ways. I suppose with international football, he doesn't really get much time with the players, so they're going to be completely new to him and to them. Obviously, there's a lot of talk about players not there and not available and sort of fallouts and stuff. But look, that's all talk. When it comes to the match, it's 11v11, two sides that are probably pretty similar in a match. So the fact that they have home advantage, like I seen or heard yesterday on the radio, that they've only lost two games in the last 28 at home. So they're obviously a decent side, and they obviously have their own ambitions to get to the World Cup as well. So look, nothing taken for granted. I'd say they're slightly favourites in the bookies, but as we've seen against Hungary and against Portugal, that Ireland have something about them, they can possibly pull us out of the bag and get us a result,
And should they do that, get a result, they would play the winners of Denmark and North Macedonia. That game's also on tonight at 7:45. You would kind of have to fancy Denmark to come through that other game tonight. And what an occasion that would set up on Tuesday at the Aviva.
Oh, it'd be amazing. Look, you would expect Denmark to come through with their pedigree and with the players that they have. But again, at the Aviva, hopefully it's Ireland against Denmark or whatever. And you would like to think that Ireland would fancy their chances at home with the crowd, with the atmosphere, and just the momentum that they would have from the last few results, if that was the case.
So what's it going to take for Ireland to make it to the World Cup in the summer over the next few days? A bit of luck, a bit of magic, some big atmospheres, or probably a mixture of all the above?
A bit of everything, and they definitely think the luck. You need things to go your way. You need the wee moments in games to go your way. Maybe refereeing decisions or something cleared off the line, or individual heroic performances. We've seen them over the years that Ireland have had it with individuals and just big moments, and it'll be all required. Like, they're capable of doing it. The squad and team have shown over the last year or two improvements. And as I say, there's a real desire from everyone that it can happen.
Well, let's see how it goes. Nearly time for kickoff in Prague. 7:45 is the kickoff time. Gavin, locally, it's a big weekend in the Ulster Cup as well. It's a semi-final stage. I suppose we'll start with your own team, Cockhill Celtic. Yous are away to Kildrum Tigers. It's always a battle at Station Road, and this Sunday will be no different.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Kildrum have a good side, good manager, real togetherness in their squad, lots of good players, lots of experienced players, lots of ex-senior players. So we're up against very, very, very tough place to go. But look, again, it's a semi-final. We'll go there. We'll try our best. We've been playing well this season. So again, we were there last season actually and lost in the semi-finalist competition. At the same stage, tough game, tough day, and Kildrum deserved to win that day. But look, we'll go there and give it a go. It'll be tight for sure.
And in the other semi-final, just finally, it's Buncrana Hearts against Cairn. Two Inishowen Premier Division teams going at it for a place in the Ulster Cup finals. That also has the makings of a great game.
Yeah, there will be. It'll be a tight game. There'll be very little between the teams. Buncrana over the last couple of years have done really well and got the finals and won trophies. So Cairn are probably a wee more behind and up and coming. But look, any games we've had against Cairn Donagh this season have been really close and really tight. So they're capable. Hard one to call as well. Buncrana probably start slight favourites. But look, again, a semi-final, you just don't know what way it'll go.
Cockhill Celtic manager Gavin Cullen talking all things soccer, including that massive game which kicks off shortly. Ireland in Prague to face Czechia. A huge night for Irish football, so try to enjoy it wherever you're watching it. Gavin also spoke on the Ulster Cup semi-finals, and there are loads of other games locally this weekend. Those Ulster Cup last four ties are on Sunday afternoon, as is the FAI Junior Cup meeting between Cadger Rovers and Illy Celtic. In the Donegal Junior Leagues, the top two are both in action in the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division on Sunday. Lerican Rovers are on course to retain their title. Stephen McConnell's side face a tricky trip to try a lot to face Fannet United, while second place Bonagie United will look to keep the pressure on Rovers at the top. Bonagie play Glenny United at the Dry Arch, and the other game in that division sees Kilmacrenan and Celtic play St Catharines in a big fixture at the other end of the table. Well, in the Temple Domestic Appliance Division 1, the big story last week was that Kerry Keel 71 have been promoted to the top tier for the first time in their long 55-year history. Kerry Keel could still win the Temple Domestic Appliance Division 1 title. They have two games left and are 3 points behind leaders Capri Rovers, who have one game left, so an exciting conclusion is definitely in prospect. Let's now hear from Kerry Keel manager Huey Walsh. He's been speaking to Chris Ashmore about their league campaign. A recent 25th reunion of winning the Division 2 title in 2001, the famous Summer Cup competitions at Drury Park, and the move to Rabs Park. Chris also took a trip into the archives with Huey to recall the link between Kerry Keel and the last Sheffield United captain to lift the FA Cup 101 years ago.
Huey, first of all, many congratulations. Promotion to the top flight for the first time in the club's history, and you could still win that Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1 title. But last weekend, you got the draw against Balbuffet that clinched promotion and a late goal.
Yeah, exactly, Chris. It's been a long time coming, I suppose 55 years. But we're glad to get there now. It's a massive achievement by all the club, you know. And a late goal by our captain, Mark Friel, on Sunday against Balfour. I think it was 96 minutes, you know, the crunch of point. It was a massive goal, you know, in the context of the whole season, because it keeps the dream alive, too, of winning the league, you know. And it was a massive goal, but it's still all to play for, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a massive achievement by the club to get promoted to the Premier League for the first time, you know. It's massive.
So the club going 55 years, and next season you'll be playing in that highest level of Donegal Junior League soccer, so something to look forward to. But before that, as you've touched on there, you have two games left, or one and a half, as you're going to explain to us. You are 3 points behind Capri Rovers. They have one game left. That's away to Convoy Arsenal. Your last game is at home to Swilly Rovers. But this weekend, you're in action against Gwydor Celtic at Rabs Park. And it's a rather strange scenario, because initially you did play them. So just recap what happened.
Yeah, we were playing down in Kerry Keel. We were 3-2 up. I've just run to half-time. And just one of the Gwydor players, he had a bad leg break. Kieran McHugh, just like to wish him well. Hope he's doing well now. So the referee called the time. He said, look, boys, we have families to come here now. So we said, that's 100%. The players' welfare was there, you know. So the league have decided now, so we'll play the second half this Sunday, start the game at 3-2 to Kerry Keel. So it's a strange scenario now, but I suppose, look, at the end of the day, the players' welfare was there first, and as I hope Kieran's doing well. But it's a strange one. This Sunday, you know, it's going to be a tricky affair, you know.
Yeah.
The Gwydor's a good side, a good young side. And it's strange, but we'll just have to get on with it, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully on Sunday we're still in the shout of the league title, you know.
So, yeah, indeed, it'd be nice to go right down to that last game of the season. And it's been a pretty competitive Division 1 this year, because until recently there were certainly four or five teams in contention.
Oh, definitely. Castlefin were there. Gwydor Celtic were there. Mulford as well, you know. Rathmullen have had a good season. they're looking to get the playoff spot. No, it's been a very, very good league, and there's no easy games crossing this league.
Yeah.
Last year, no disrespect to Division 2, there was kind of games you're going to maybe thinking, we'll get 3 points here, and we shouldn't have to worry about that game. But this year, every game is a tough battle, you know. Tough battle. Like Balfour last week were very, very good against us, fighting for a race down there to stay in the division. You know, come out there with a point last week was a good result for us. You know what I mean? Good result for them. Just make us no easy games. You know what I mean? Swally's down near the bottom. They're not a bad team, you know. Ralph Mullen's going well. Catherine's a serious outfit. Like Catherine got to the McCormick Cup final last year, you know. So it's a Capri, you know, very good outfit. You know, they're like their top of the league. They're going well. Like they're bit more to do. They're delighted to be more as well. Like it's been a very good league, in fairness. Milford as well. No Gillespie up there, Milford. Another good season for them as well. You know, I mean, they'll be looking for a playoff spot. There's actually three teams now in contention for a playoff spot, you know. So
yeah.
There's a lot of football to be played yet.
There certainly is.
Top and bottom half of the table, you know.
And a note recently, the club 25th anniversary of your success back in 2001, and I think you had video footage of that day when you defeated Castlefin Celtic. So that was a title to celebrate.
And that was a great night there last Saturday night. You know, Mickey Crossan rang me there about 2 months ago. He said, "Yes, 25 years, something in the league." Mickey was keeper that year, and we said, "Good night, Ornish." And it worked out a brilliant night. We actually got the game on the TV, you know, and all the team was there, minus maybe two players that couldn't make it. And Peggy was over too. Peggy McAteer, my wife Deirdre was over. It was a brilliant night, you know. And it's great to have them, Remy, you know. It doesn't seem like 25 years ago now, I believe you and me, but it's a great achievement that year now. And hopefully this year, hopefully it was another title to celebrate, please God, in a few weeks' time, but it's going to be tough. But
and
we're going to shout, you know, that's all we're going to ask for.
And was that a Division 2 or a Division 1 title back
then? That was a Division 1. Division 2, sorry. We've never actually won Division 1. That was Division 2. We've won Division 2 four times now.
Yeah.
That was Division 2. That was the second time John won it. That was 2001.
And of course, last season was a great season, and it looks as if that momentum has continued this year.
Aye, no, last year was brilliant, Chris. The boys have put a big effort in, you know, like this last couple of seasons. Marnie McAteer, my brother-in-law, helps out with us. Shane Sandlins, James Martin, Sean Freed, like, right there, four boys, like, you know what I mean? It would be tough for me. Like, Mary does a training on a Thursday night up in Milford. Like, I just stand back, watch him. He's a sales at everything he does. You know, he's been a top-class player in the Austrian League for years. He's won titles as Kildrum, really Kenny Fine, you know. Like, he's probably one of the best players I've ever seen play. Don't go, like, to have him on board, you know, it's massive. It's great for the club, too. Like, John Joe's son, you know, great to carry that forward. James Martin has been with the club. James Martin's actually been involved with the four winning teams. You know what I mean?
Yeah, quite a
that's
record.
Yeah.
Now,
it's magic. Like Sparky played in that team in 2001. He played that day, and he's captain of this current team. You know, that's a big achievement too. Like,
yeah. Now you're in the hot seat. I think 15 years, and it's a club. You know, many people know Kerrykeel. You might have spent most of the years in the lower divisions, but we've touched on there the late John Joe McAteer, the driving force behind the club. And in the early days, of course, those famous summer cups at Drury Park and the Midges and the Big Slope and a surprising number of games that happened to end in a draw as well. It was a big talking point in those days.
Oh, John Joe's Summer Cups, they were classics. Now, look, I'm only a blow-in down here now. And I'm originally from Letterkenny, but I come down here in the late 90s, like. And I think the first trip to Drury Park was a cup final of 98, I think. And the Drury Park was packed. And John Joe was, he told the referee how long was left. I think it was 1-8. And John Joe says, the referee says there's 5 minutes. And he goes, lower up. There's a big crowd there, you know. So John Joe got a replay, but John Joe, there'd be no club here without John Joe McAteer, a legend in these parts, his wife Peggy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy Stoll's involved with the club, my wife Deirdre, I say Marty, my daughter Kiva, you know what I mean? We're very family-oriented, you know. But Drury Park, there wasn't too many teams getting in the anchor points, you know.
No. And then, of course, the move to the current ground, Rabs Park, and great community spirit and backing, because that was a big step forward, and it's now a ground that can match any.
It is. Oh, we've got great facilities in Rabs Park, Chris. Credit to the local community, you know, they're under a bit of pressure there about 10 years ago, and they all came together, and they actually ended up buying out the lease on it, you know, and buying it the clubhouse itself. So That's a great facility over there for local. You know, there's the childcare over there as well during the weekend. It's great to have it, you know, and the Mullaghry Academy use it, and the schools, the tech and the common use it, you know, and it's great to have it, and it's a great facility, and it's great to call it home, you know, because it really was great, you know, but it's just nice too, nice change with the pitch here as well now, so it's a fantastic facility, and one we're proud of to have down here, you know.
And some of our listeners may not know, or they may have forgotten, of course, that Kerry Keel was the birthplace of a famous Irishman, the first Irishman to captain an English FA Cup winning team. That was William, or Billy Gillespie as he was known, and he led Sheffield United to FA Cup success in 1925 as they beat Cardiff at Wembley. And back in 2013, there was a great ceremony there to mark indeed his whole life, and he played with several clubs, Institute and Derry City, and great links and still strong connections with Sheffield.
Oh, there's indeed, yeah, there's a nice plaque there, the clubhouse down to Kermit, Billy Gillespie, you know, he just lived up the road on the pitch, and he played for Sheffield United. I think he played for Derry City too, was it? I think in the Brandywell. So yeah. No, it's nice piece of history, you know.
Indeed, Derry City's colours, the Sheffield United like strip. Well, apparently that's where the whole candy stripes came from, and that nickname still applies. And I was interested to note that Gillespie even played his part in BBC radio history, because the BBC's first broadcast of a league match on radio ever was between Arsenal and Sheffield United in 1927, and Gillespie scored United's goal in a 1-1 draw at Highbury. So plenty of history there.
Oh, exactly. That's news to me. I never knew that now, so thanks for calling me on there now.
Yeah, so you're making history this week, and maybe next week and the week after, and I suppose it must give you great pride, Huey, you know, having been at the helm over the years. This is something special, the prospect of playing in the Brian McCormack Sports Premier Division next year.
Oh, it is. If my phone hasn't stopped a week, people have been ringing me, texting me, you know, wishing as well, and great achievement for all involved, you know, but it's a great achievement for the whole club, just not only myself, you know. For all of us, you know, all the coaching staff, all the backroom staff, the people that help out on Sunday, you know what I mean? We Maureen and James with the tea there on a Sunday in Kerry Keel, like it's good for them, you know, it's good for the wife, you know what I mean? We're very family-oriented down here, you know, we're a small group, but I will enjoy the challenge now. We're actually starting to be married today. We'll start to build now for next year. You know, it's going to be a big step up. We know that, but this year is a big step up too. You know, and the boys have really come on. Like, we haven't really added much last year. Now, like, before the team won the league last year, we've added young Darragh Doherty came from Fannett. He's been excellent for us. Sean or Liam McGrannan came from Fannett. Been excellent for us. You know, and Sean Kerr came last year and halfway through the season, he's been excellent for us. But it's been more or less the same squad. You know, and like, it's just, I say, they're all local boys playing for the local club, and that's what we want down here, is keep it as local as we can.
And so many teams in the area. You mentioned Fannett, there's Milford, there's White Strand, there's Rathmullen, there's Swilly. You're kind of bang in the middle, so there's fierce competition for players. So when you're punching above your weight, it really is a statement.
Oh, it is. No, exactly. There's a lot of teams down here, White Strand. As you say, Fannett's just down the road from us, you know, and Milford up the road, Swilly, Rathmullen. Most of us will be looking for the same players, you know. But when you're in the Premier League, you'll have a better chance of getting players, you know. Most of the players now want to play at the highest standard, and this is the highest standard this club's been at in 55 years. So hey, we're looking forward to it. We know it's going to be tough. We're not being up there to make numbers up either. We'll be up to hopefully stay in it and push on from there, you know.
Great. Well, listen, Huey, many thanks for joining us on The Score, and we wish you all the best for the remainder of the season and indeed next season.
Chris, thanks, Brendan. Thank you very much. Cheers.
That is Kerry Keel manager Huey Walsh speaking to our own Chris Ashmore. Elsewhere in the Temple Domestic Appliance Division 1 this weekend, Convoy Arsenal, who are very much in a scrap to stay in the division, they play Castlefin Celtic. The top two are in action in the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2. Raphoe Town are away to Lifford Celtic, while Cranford go to White Strand United. There are also games in all three Saturday divisions of the Donegal League this weekend. In the Irish League Championship on Saturday, Institute go to Dundella, that is in the relegation group, while title chasing Limavady are away to Loughgall in the promotion group. Limavady currently second in the table, level on points with Anna, but behind them on goal difference. It is time for a short break on the programme. When we come back, we'll be turning the focus towards Gaelic games. You're very welcome back to the programme. Now, let's focus on GAA, and Donegal will face All-Ireland champions Kerry in the National Football League Division 1 final on Sunday afternoon at Croke Park. The previous meeting of these two behemoths at GAHQ was, of course, last July's All-Ireland final, where a traumatic afternoon for Donegal supporters ended in a 126-19 point defeat. A league win over the Kingdom in Ballyshannon back in February did little to banish the demons of that day last summer, but this weekend does represent the opportunity to get one over on Kerry. A walk up the Hogan Stand steps to lift the national silverware at the hands of Jack O'Connor's side would surely signal an overturning of a shiny new leaf this coming Sunday. Jim McGuinness recently named Michael Langan and Shane O'Donnell as his joint captains. St Michael's man Langan says the focus is very much on winning the game.
It's great to get the chance of playing the league final. So obviously going to be a tough game, a tough challenge against Kerry. We found that out last summer in the All-Ireland final, but yeah, looking forward to getting another chance at them and the chance to get back to Croke Park to play in a national final and to play in a final that we've, I think we've only won it once since 2007. So, it's a challenge we're looking forward to. We're obviously happy with how the league's gone up to this point. I think probably the main aim for us at the start of the league was probably to try and get safe, and anything out of that is a bonus, you know. We've used a lot of players, we've probably improved the squad depth. Got minutes into lads, and yeah, look, we're here in a league final now, so it's a game we're going up and trying to win, and if we win it, great, and you know, if we don't, we'll take the learnings and move on to the down game in the championship.
You brought up the All-Ireland final first, so I don't feel too bad about it now. Before we look ahead to this game and the league, just from your point of view, how tough was that, the All-Ireland final experience?
It's not a nice experience losing an All-Ireland final. I think Kerry probably benefit from being in a couple of finals before that. They played the occasion very well. Obviously very disappointed to lose. You know, Kerry got off to a great start. They brought a serious intensity and aggression, and we probably left ourselves with too much to do. Too much of a lead to claw back, and you know, we made a fist of it there in the second half, I think, but as I say, we probably just left ourselves with too much to do, and Kerry kind of kept us at arm's length, and you know, anytime we got back close, maybe 3 or 4 points, I think we missed a couple of opportunities, a couple of wides, a couple of turnovers, and Kerry were able to tag on points and obviously see it out. So yeah, look, it's obviously a tough experience, but you know, we just have to try and take the learnings from it and move forward.
How do you feel the game, the counties, you know, the rules have bedded in now? Have you noticed that different this year? Are teams trying a few different things, or are you figuring it out yourselves, even as a player in around that middle third, opportunities and things like that? What's it been like?
I suppose it's the second year of the rules now. You're getting a bit more used to them. Obviously, the two-pointer has been massive as well. You know, you see, I suppose we learned that in the final. Kerry probably got more two-pointers than we did. And, you know, it's something we are looking at. I mean, if the shot's on for a two-pointer, we're not afraid to take it, but it's probably about not snatching at opportunities as well. And obviously this year as well, the kickouts are a massive part of the game now, both for and against. And, you know, if you're able to get them away and get hands on ball, you have a good chance of getting scores at the other end when you're attacking 11v11. But, you know, it's a huge dogfight out there when it goes long. And, you know, trying to get hands on ball is not easy out there.
I think you mentioned the importance of two-pointers. I think you've got 7 of them yourself during the league. Is it an aspect of the game you enjoy? Are you relishing that challenge?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I've always enjoyed kicking points, and it's something I used to do when I was only no age down at the club pitch, kicking points, so it's something I'm comfortable doing. And look, as I say, it's something that's on the radar a wee bit more maybe this year, because, 2 points for a single kick is huge. So, but as I said earlier, if it's on, we're not afraid to take the chance, but it probably has to be in the right area of the pitch as well. You know, you don't want to be shooting from maybe each side of the D, because the chances of it actually going over is probably a wee bit less. So, I'm confident if the chances arise, I'm confident to try and have a go.
Yeah, how enjoyable is it to be part of this Donegal setup under Jim?
Yeah, it's very enjoyable. We were in a tough place, let's say, in 2023 before Jim had come in. And, you know, since Jim's come in, he's really galvanised everyone. He's galvanised Donegal football. We've had success along the way too, which just makes it a lot more enjoyable. And hopefully we're not done yet and we can add a few more titles.
How important is this game to you at this point in the evolution of the Donegal team? Chance to win a national title, as you said, only one ever before in 2007, only two All-Ireland titles. So it's a big enough deal, isn't it?
Yeah, look, definitely. It's a game we got up there and we won a one. As I said to you earlier, the aim at the start of the league was probably to get safe in the league. And anything after that was a bonus. So look, we're in the final now. We're going up there to win it. We'll get whatever bodies we can on the pitch. And whoever's ready to go for that game, we'll go up there with the intention to win it. If we win it, unreal, great. And if we don't, you know, we'll take their earnings. We have a huge game in the championship against Down in a couple of weeks' time, and we'll move on to that with the learning. So, look, we're going up there, as I said, Donegal, haven't won once 2007. So, to add another National League title in Croke Park would be great. And we'll go down there with the intentions to win.
Yeah, finally, you mentioned Down there. It's only coming around the corner. They've had a good season already, too. So, that's not going to be an easy start to the championship, sure,
No, definitely not. And as we know, every single game in Ulster championships, it's a real, real battle. And Down have been playing very well. I think they gained promotion as well. So, you know, we've had great battles with Down throughout the years. And I'm sure the game this year will be no different. And we'll be preparing as best we can. And we'll be ready to go for that Down game.
It is Donegal joint captain Michael Langan. Well, let's get a word from the opposing camp. Kerry manager Jack O'Connor says he's surprised his team have made a league final, as his ambitions at the start of the campaign was to avoid relegation.
I remember thinking at the start of the year that we had so many players that were unavailable and so many players were late coming back that I was worried about relegation.
Okay.
Right. So a league final was the last thing in my mind, and I'm genuine about that. You know, the way things work down here, the players who play three championships after coming back from the intercounty, which I've gone on record as saying is unsustainable long term. Can't see how you can do that year after year and then expect to roll players out in January and be competitive in the league. So we've, despite what people say, it's a very tricky balance for us. We have to try and manage players, get them back, give them minutes, you know, make sure they have a bit of time off, make sure they have a bit of time to get a bit of a pre-season, but it's very tricky. It's tricky. You'd love to have all your players ready and rested by the end of November, but that's not the case for us. That's not the case for us, and hasn't been for a while now. So it can be a tricky enough assignment. So if you told me at the start of the league that we'd be in the league final, I'd have found it hard to believe, because, you know, the amount of players that we were missing and the amount of players that came back late. So I think it's been a great job overall by everybody, including the medical people and the S&C coaches and the football coaches. I think they've done a great job in managing the group of players to get to a league final, and we see this as a bonus for us, you know, a game in Croke Park, which the players always look forward to.
And a game against good opponents as well. You know, what make Donegal a tough prospect?
Just a very good group of players, first of all. You know, a lot of natural footballers, good, you know, fellas who have the skills. And they have, obviously, a few special players. You know, a good manager, a man who commands a huge amount of respect in the county. And obviously commands huge respect from the players. And they're just a very fit, hard-running, mobile team with a lot of weapons and a lot of scoring potential from many different areas of the pitch. So they're a tough proposition, tough proposition. And I'm sure we'll have our hands full with them next time.
I'm sure, you know, they'd like to put one over you in Croke Park after last year's All-Ireland final too, I'm sure.
Sure, they probably would, but look, I think that game is well parked now. You know, there's a new season. Everybody is in full preparation for the championship, I suppose, of 26. Not thinking too much about the 25 championship. So I don't think that will be a huge factor. I think everybody is in the mind in their own house and trying to get their own house in order for this year. And last year is well parked now, I tell you.
There you go. That is Kerry manager Jack O'Connor. And we will, as always, have full live match commentary from Croke Park on Sunday. Oisín Kelly and Brendan Devaney will be live from around 3:30 here on Highland. The Division 1 final is preceded by the Division 2 final between Meath and Cork in what is a doubleheader at Croke Park. So fans definitely getting their money's worth this coming Sunday. That Meath and Cork game gets underway from 1:45. It's also an important weekend for the Donegal Hurlers, who will contest the Division 3 league final after clinching promotion back to Division 2 with a brilliant win over Roscommon last week. Mickey McCann's side now travel to Aughrim to face Wicklow in Saturday's decider. Here is the Donegal hurling boss speaking with Oisín Kelly in the lead up to that game.
Mickey, I suppose we'll start with the venue in this one. Aughrim, home advantage for Wicklow. Is it fair? Is it unfair? Should it have been at a neutral venue? Or are you just quite happy to suck it up at this stage and it's something that you just have to get on with?
Look, Oisín, we probably knew the rules of the competition. Granted, the last couple of games, we knew that they, against Wicklow, if we beat them up in Letterkenny, we would have a home final. So, but look, it's a big ask for a team to get to a National League final and travel 5 hours. I do feel both teams would be happy in a neutral venue, you know, but it is what it is, you know. We have to get the logistics right and get down there Friday night and prepare well, you know. But looking at it from the outside, you're probably thinking it should be a neutral venue, and I'd probably tend to agree, but we knew the rules and that's where we're at now. So a big trip to Aughrim coming on Friday.
Well, listen, Mickey, you got a good look at Wicklow in that defeat at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny a number of weeks ago. What did you take out of it ahead of a league final?
Just the physicality, Oisín. No, they're a really, really big team. There's a lot of 6-footers plus on there, you know, and something we hadn't played against all year. We had a tough first game out against Tyrone, but as I said, going into the Wicklow game, we played 3 games and nobody laid a glove on us, Oisín, and we just weren't at the pitch that Wicklow was at that day, you know, and we took a lot of bad touches and stuff, and their physicalities under the rucks sort of won a lot of possession for them. So we have to be a lot tidier in possession, Oisín, and our touch has got to be good, and we had 15 wides against them, so we're going to have to be more, get our conversion rate up to a good percentage, you know. But look, really, really, really good team, Wicklow. It's going to be a tough ask, Oisín, but I suppose we got what we want out of the league, but in saying that, when you get to the final and we meet Wicklow again, we'll be looking to try our best to win the game. So, look, you'd think they're slight favourites, but we'll be going down with every mission that we're going to win, you know.
Yeah. I know that you've played Wicklow over the last number of years on several occasions and finals, Mickey, and listen, the record hasn't been great. Now, I'm stand to be corrected here, but I don't think you actually beat Wicklow in a decider in recent times. Would that be correct?
No, we haven't, Oisín. We beat them twice, actually, in Aughrim, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years. They actually beat us in Letterkenny last year by a point in the Christy Ring, and then they beat us in the Nicky Raggart final a couple of years ago. So no, look, they're a good outfit, Oisín. We're just getting up to that level. We feel we are closer to them now, you know, and that day in Letterkenny, I think we were poor and they were very good. So hopefully we can get a performance like last week against Roscommon, Oisín, and we'll not be far away from Wicklow, but as you say, they seem to have a wee slight advantage over us the last couple of times we met, you know.
Yeah, well, it's a one-off game. Anything can happen. But you are down a couple of big guns, so you are. There's no Jerry Gilmore and no Conor Gartland for this league final. But listen, you have a good enough squad there, Mickey. There's an opportunity there for other guys now to shine on a big decider day.
Yeah, of course there is. But no, the two lads are massive loss. You know, we've lost Conor a couple of games ago, but they lose Jerry then again, who'd stepped into the captaincy after Conor went out and lost him now. Two massive losses, you know, two central figures in the forward line, with Jerry being our free ticker too, Oisín. So look, we have to rejig things, but look, you have to soon move on. You have to trust your panel. We have a lot of young boys there that's ready to step in, you know, and when Jerry came off last week, Roger McDermott was sitting there ready to go on. So we have the replacements that are lost, you know, but we'll have to trust the lads that can in there now and to do a job and pull out a performance for us.
Yeah. Just finally then, Mickey, if you can pull out that performance and do that job and get a win on the road at Aughrim, which is going to be difficult. If it does come off at the weekend on Saturday, that's a good boost. That's a good injection now as you head to the Championship, where Wicklow, of course, are forming part of your fixture schedule.
Yeah, look, we got a great boost last week getting promoted, Oisín, because it was back to the wall last week going out against the Gunners Common team, and we had to win and had to perform, and we did, which was a good ask and a good sign of us. going to Wicklow now, a result will be brilliant because we have them first day out in the Christy Ring in 2 weeks' time. So we're going to be sick looking at them over the next couple of weeks. But look, for the young lads that come into the panel, actually, it'd be great to get a wee bit of silverware for them, you know. But as I said, we wanted out of the league, but we'll be trying to go up as champions now. When you get there, you want to perform, and we want to set things straight and see how close we are to them. Oisín come at Christy Ring game and they come to Letterkenny. If we happen to get a result over them, you know, they'll become Letterkenny, but we're more wary of us, you know.
All right then, Mickey, thanks for taking the call, and listen, the best of luck with the preparations over the next couple of days as you tee things off ahead of Saturday's game, the league final against Wicklow. The very best of luck to you, your management and your players in the game, Mickey. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, Oisín.
That is Mickey McCann speaking to Oisín Kelly. Throw-in is at 2 o'clock this coming Saturday in Aughrim. The Donegal Ladies Teams Division 2 campaign will come to a close on Sunday. James Daly's team play Wexford at O'Donnell Park from 2 o'clock, where Maureen O'Donnell will be providing updates for Highland Radio Sport. Elsewhere in GAA this weekend, the Donegal Under-20s will look to make it 3 wins from 3 in the Ulster Under-20 Championship. Gary Boyle's team go up against Antrim in Ballyshannon from 2 o'clock on Saturday, and Derry play their second game when they welcome Fermanagh to Celtic Park from 3. Closer to home, the Donegal All-County Leagues get underway this weekend with games across Divisions 1, 2 and 3 on Saturday evening. Stay tuned to our weekend sports shows here in Highland, where you won't miss a thing in all things Gaelic games. Now let's have a look at what is happening elsewhere in the world of sport here in the Northwest. In athletics, the National Juvenile Indoor Championships take place in Athlone. Patsy McGonigal will, as always, be keeping us up to date with how our local athletes go in those championships across both Saturday and Sunday. There's also the matter of the European Masters Indoors being held in Poland, so we will be keeping a close eye on that. The Burr Stages Rally sees lots of local interest. Donegal's family combo of Michael Declan and Matthew Boyle are all seated in the top 5 for that rally, with Kevin Eaves, Kevin Gallagher and Ray McHugh also highly ranked heading into that event on Sunday. And finally for tonight, it is a massive occasion for Strabann Rugby Club on Saturday. They play Virginia in the Gordon West Cup Final, so the very best of luck to all involved at Strabann in that game. Elsewhere, Ulster Championship 3 sees the meeting of top of the table Belfast High School former pupils and 4th place Coleraine, while in the Provincial North League, Donegal Town host Coleraine seconds. That is it from me tonight. If you missed any of tonight's show and you want to have a listen back to it, you'll be able to find the full episode on the playback section of our website, that is at highlandradio.com, or now over on the Radio Player app, where you can find all of our stuff as well. We'll be back with another episode of The Score next Thursday from 7. I'm Mark Gallagher. Thank you very much for listening. As always, Trudy O'Donnell is up next after the 8 o'clock news. Have a great evening. Enjoy the sport at the weekend, and I will be talking to you all again very soon. Take care.